Connections decided to scratch him because they thought the extra penalty he got would be too hard on a three-year-old over the 2 miles. So in their wisdom, they scratched him for the Melbourne Cup that year.
Hi, John. It's Muzz here, mate. Fantastic to chat to you. I believe also in that 1957 Caulfield Cup, there might be another reason why you love Tullock so much. With straight jaw in second leg, it won. I think you collected around £500. Pretty decent amount for back then.
It was a fortune, and it was an amazing how we got about it, because we'd been to Mornington races in the August of 1957, and in those days, quite often, the drinking laws were much more relaxed than what they are now, let me tell you.
So you'd had a couple.
Yeah.
Actually, we'd been to Mornington, we're going through Frankston, and went through Frankston, and the bloke in the car said, "Hey, we passed a pub, so we've got to go back." Anyway, I went back into the Frankston Hotel, and I'd had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Len Jewson, who was a leading doubles bookmaker of the time there, and naturally the interest got around to the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups, and he said to me, "What do you like in the Caulfield Cup?" And I said, "Well, Tullock's going to be mighty hard to beat." And he said, "What about the Melbourne Cup?" And you wouldn't believe it, the only horse that I could think of, having heard him win a mixed trial stakes at Randwick a couple of weeks earlier, was a horse called Straight Draw, which I'd frankly never heard of until he'd won that particular race that day at Randwick. And I said to him, "Well, Straight Draw." And he pulled out his little voucher book and wrote out Tullock Straight Draw, £500 to five. And I said, "Well, I haven't got the fiver." He said, "Well, look, give it to me when the race is over." That's how much they thought Tullock was going to if he's going to win the double, you know. And I thought the same, quite frankly. But naturally, I was one of the few people delighted when Tullock came out of the Caulfield Cabinet, made the way easier for Straight Draw, who, by the way, was an underrated horse, because he was the only horse ever to have won the Metropolitan, Melbourne Cup and the Sydney Cup in the same season.
Yeah, right.
And he was retired after he won the Sydney Cup. His owner, Ezra Norton, who owned the Truth newspaper, decided to retire him to the paddock where he was born. Anyway, I collected the 500. That was the good news, and I didn't have to pay the fiver.
Isn't it?
Oh, I would say, yeah.
Just for our listeners out there, that equates to around $4,500 today, so pretty decent coin for back then.
John,
didn't last long, though, in the punt.
Tipped it back in pretty quick.
Fairly quickly, although I had good news to go for a trip around Queensland on the proceeds of it, which was very nice at that time of the year.
Mate, you called over 20 Melbourne Cups. What is the one that really stood out for you?
Well, the one that I enjoyed most, of course, was my first in 1977, Golden Black beating another great stayer in Reckless, and yet another great stayer in Hyperno, who was to win the race 2 years later, finishing in third place. So that was vivid in my mind, you know, and all the Melbourne Cups I've called, I did a good job, I thought, in the race too. Everything went my way. I watched the two favourites for most of the way where they were to make sure that I got them in the call, and they seemed to be almost where I thought they would be, and fought out the race. And of course, Golden Black was another of the great Bart Cummings team to have won the Cup that year.
How much research and preparation goes into calling a Melbourne Cup, John? It'd be
we hope you do a good job in the race, but a lot of the horses in the Cup are horses you've seen quite often leading up to the race, so it's not a great hazard to sort of have them in your mind what the colours are and on. But nevertheless, it's the Melbourne Cup, and it's a time-honoured race, and you want to be at your best, and you know you're all tensed up going when the horses move into the stalls, and you virtually breathe a sigh of relief when the stalls open and they're on their way. So you're on your own from that point on, and you hope that you make a good job of the race that you call.
Let's get hold of the blokes that steer these horses around. We interviewed the other week a young fella, Harry Coffey, and what a great person he is, riding with cystic fibrosis. But what about you? Who is your favourite jockey, and for what reason?
Roy Higgins, that stands out in my mind. He was a wonderful jockey. He was a rider that could get on a horse and get off it and tell you exactly how the horse felt and what he might do. And they're the most important things that the trainer, of course, and then the owner want to know what the future is for the particular horse. And Roy, not only was he a brilliant rider, and hands and heels, whichever way you take it, he was able to impart that knowledge of his onto the people, and invariably was right. No, he's a marvellous rider. He would be my best, but there'll be many others over the years, of course. You mentioned George Moore and Neville Selwood, of course, in their days, and we've got Damien Oliver now riding in great form. Craig Williams is a marvellous rider at the moment.
Yeah.
Very true professional jockey. And Kieran McEvoy and all those fellas, there's a lot of them very good. But Roy Higgins did stand out in my book.
Yeah, we've got legendary race caller John Russell on the line. John, we're just going to go to a quick break, but we're going to keep you on the line and come back and fire a few more questions at you.
Okay, fine.
This hour of the Friday Afternoon Sports Show brought to you by the Mirage Country Club, where the greens meet the blue.
Welcome back to the Muzz and Double O Show on Fab FM. We've got legendary caller, race caller John Russell on the line. Thanks for holding with us, John. Mate, do you think the industry is relatively clean these days?
Oh, I think so. The way that the integrity setup is situated, it doesn't leave many areas available for people, but there are still people that try their hand at putting one over the general public, but they come to grief, and I think personally the racing is very clean, very, very on a high basis.
Yeah, no, that's good. But back before, I guess, drug test videos and the integrity units were around, it was pretty gung-ho, wasn't it, would you say?
Well, there were more incidents happened then that weren't detected, sort of thing. But nowadays they've got so much sophisticated stuff at their disposal that they'll easily sort of get through these little cheating efforts that people put on from time to time.
Back in the day, it was more of an amateur sport, even though they got paid a reasonable amount of money. How do you think that rates to the way it's conducted now? Better or worse?
Oh, it's much better for the jockey and the trainer, for two people in the industry. The trainer gets 10% of all winning percentages after the race. The jockey gets 5%, and I believe that if he wins a race in the metropolitan area, this is the case in Victoria anyway, that the owner doubles the percentage, so he'd get 10% too. So that's 10% for the trainer and 10% for the winning jockey, and that goes straight into their banking accounts. No fuss, no worries. In it goes, and they know it's there. So that's only two of the elements of how good it is now compared with other days.
Yeah. John, modern day racing compared to, I guess, your time, what's better? Is it the same or is it worse? How do you see it?
Oh, well, the tracks are better. Everything's so much better and so much faster nowadays, you know. We had a horse, just take an example of a horse called Ori Star, held the 1,200 metres, or 6 furlongs in those days, record for many, many years at 1.8 1/4 in the straight six at Plymouth, and that stood for a long time. But nowadays, with records, that they're made to be broken, and they are, as you know, probably continually being broken from time to time. And it's much faster and much sleeker, shall I say, for want of a better word, these days than it was in my day.
Yeah. And how good a horse is Winx? Just want your opinion on the great mare.
Outstanding champion, obviously. 33 wins speaks for itself. She's done everything that her connections ask of her. It's been a marvellous job done by Chris Waller in training the mare, and similarly a great rider in Huey Bowman in the saddle. She's one of the greatest we'll ever see. Yeah. 33 wins, as I say. Of course, Black Caviar was another one. 25 wins unbeaten.
Yeah.
They're the top couple that in the last 10 years, I'd say, by far.
Yeah, and the Winx would have ran rings around the Poms at Ascot this week.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. I haven't been watching the race. Have you been watching the races up there?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually. But yeah, I remember last was it that Chapman fella come over in the Cox Plate and said that Winx wouldn't get near him over there at Ascot, and Winx come out and smashed the field in the Cox Plate, made him look quite silly. But John Russell, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us on the show. It's been fantastic.
Nice to talk to you, and good luck to all my good friends, and many of them up there in Port Douglas, Alison Diamond and Jeff and all the gang up there. That they're very popular identities in the area, I know, and I'm sure they'll be, well, I'm sure they might be listening today, so good luck to them, and they're off to Laura. I believe you're going to Laura, you guys.
Yeah. Well, they'll be going to Laura, and I think Paul Macon will be going up to Laura as well. I've been up there for the races. It's a great day up there. Well, a great weekend. You're camping there. A few frothies during the day, a few more at night. Wake up a bit tardy.
The only time I went up there, I fell at the last fence.
Well, I went up there with, you'd probably know him, race caller Bluey Forsyth. And,
Bluey, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, great fella.
Yeah. So we went up there with him and he gave us a few tips. And that's the last time I've ever talked to Bluey because they were all terrible.
Before you go, John, do you still have a flutter?
Oh, yeah, I still have a flutter. Yeah. I'm still in the red with them too. I'll never get into the black, I don't think.
The Lone Ranger there, mate. Thank you so much for your time, John. It's been fantastic.
Have a good time at Laura. And nice to talk to you all.
No worries. Thank you. That was John Russell, legendary race caller. What a great chat. That was awesome.
Great chat. And look, you forget about people like that who call for so many years, but when you hear his voice again and you go, yes, yeah I know exactly who it is, you know.